Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. In this episode of the Human Technology Podcast, I will talk about trust and technology. So we are completely surrounded by technology. Whatever we do, I'm sitting in front of my laptop here, and I traveled today with an aircraft and with a car. So I used technology, and it is ubiquitous. I have my smartphone here lying on my dining table, and it is allowing me connections to the rest of the world. And in many aspects, we are totally depending on technology. It is ubiquitous. It is everywhere, and we need it. And I think in many areas, we could not survive without technology. If I imagine that one day I wake up and all technology is gone and we are pushed back into the Stone Age, I mean, this would be a pretty hard thing for me. This, for every one of us, it would be super hard, and many of us would pass away just because we do not use technology. We cannot use technology anymore. Well, it's the same if you have a surgery or if you have a medical emergency. There is a lot of technology that helps you to survive, that helps you to get back on track, to get back to health, to get back to a normal life. So this is absolutely necessary. This is where technology is absolutely necessary. And we are wrapped into technology. We have smart watches, smart glasses, smartphones, smart everything, smart everywhere. It is in our pockets. It is on our skin. And it will be in our bodies very soon. It will be part of our lives. We will be cyborgs in the foreseeable time frame, because we'll have technological components, smart components, electronic components inside our body, helping us with cognitive improvements, giving us physical improvements, the entire cognition, how we see, how we hear, all that may be improved pretty soon with technology that we have inside our bodies. And also our health will be improved by technology, maybe nanobots bringing medicine, bringing treatments to the exact location where it is required and where it has the most value for us and the smallest side effects. And for this, we need trust in technology. We need to trust technology. We don't have a real choice in that. All we can do is change the amount of trust we have and the kind of trust we have in technology. But at the end of the day, if we do not trust technology, it will be a super hard life. So I trust that the brakes of my car will function at the next traffic light, so that the car will come to a stop as I want it. The aircraft I took today, I trusted it. It will not fall from the sky. It will land safely, and so I will not have an accident with it. I trust that I can make a call with my smartphone and talk to my business partners on the smartphone. So I just trust this one. So this is what we experience every day, and then we can destroy this trust. And very often it is destroyed by the behavior of big tech, of the companies from the Silicon Valley that suck our data and then and make things with our data that we don't want them to do with our data. So that they are doing things we don't like. They collect it and they combine it and then they use it, they sell it, they make money with our data. And this destroys trust that we have in technologies. Can I trust that I download an app and I put data into it? For example, a health app. Yeah, I put my blood pressure and my blood sugar and my nutrition and everything into this app. And do I know where this data will be used, how it will be used, who is having access to this data? So we are not, very often we just don't trust it. And then we have, this is almost like an institutional distrust that we have. What are the Chinese doing? So many people believe that, whether it's true or not, I don't have a real idea, but with any camera, with any chip, with any data collection device coming out of China, the Chinese government may get access to us, to our data, to what we do. And I read an article in a newspaper lately where they discussed what are these Chinese cars doing with all the data they collect. I mean, they collect tons of data. It's the speech inputs, the voice inputs. They collect our driving behavior, the locations we are, the places we visit, the navigation destinations we type in. And all this data is collected. And in this article, some German guy from a Chinese car maker said, yes, it's all saved. All the German data will be stored on servers in Europe and it will not be transferred to China. And I mean, it is a matter of trust, whether we believe this or not, and which consequences we get out of this trust or distrust we have there. And so I use this episode of the Human Technology Podcast to think a bit about this relationship between humans and technology and the trust that we need, that we have, that it creates or discreates, but also about the trust technology creates or destroys between humans. And since this is the English version of this podcast, it may not be very useful, but I'm still doing this. I'm going to refer to my book, Status Offline, which is published by the Remote Editors. And it is available in German only. We will have an English version under discussion later when we see how well it runs in Germany. But I will discuss it there. So if you want to train your German or if you have a good translation software, maybe you can get a German copy and a digital German copy, an ebook copy, and have it translated. Just a suggestion on this one. Anyway, I'm discussing it there as well. And if we talk about trust, first we should think about what is trust? What is the definition of trust? And I think most of us have a certain feeling, have a gut feeling of what trust is. Probably it is something like, well, I believe that a certain person, will not harm me. It will not, he or she will not take any activity that is bad for me, that hurts me or that is in any other way bad for me. And we believe this. And if I have the belief that another person or a technology will not take any activity that is bad for me, then I can develop some trust. And I can also develop some distrust if I believe, hey, this person, I cannot trust her. Maybe she or he will do something that hurts me, that is not good for me. So this is the rough thing, the rough feeling we have. And I looked it up at Wikipedia to find it out. And it basically says trust is a certain kind of subjective and emotional idea that you have, and you change your behavior according to this idea that you have. And it's subjective, yes, it's emotional, which I find a very good aspect of this one. And I change my behavior according to my level of trust. So this is a practical acting, it's a system of acting that is created by trust. So then it goes on, trust into another person contains the idea that this person is handling me in a proper way, and that all future actions, all future activities, all future ways of acting will not harm me. So we expect that this person is helpful, or at least not damaging me. And I find this is a very important aspect of this was trust creates cooperation. If we do not trust another person, if we do not trust the other, it will be very hard to impossible to create a cooperation, because we give and we take, and we trust that there is a certain balance between giving and taking. And so, yes, trust creates cooperation. Without trust, there is no cooperation. And the same is for technology. So, wait, I don't trust the technology. I won't use it. I won't interact with it. I won't get all the benefits out of a certain technology if I don't have a certain level of trust. And the opposite of trust is distrust. And we rate another person negatively. So we are carefully, we take care, we take activities to protect us and to avoid damages we get from another person or a technology. We take activities to do so. So that at least our own well-being is not depending on someone or some technology we do not trust. So distrust reduces cooperation, or brings it down to zero. This is basically the idea we can find in various definitions. I took the one from Wikipedia, but this is the idea of what trust is. And I will discuss three aspects here. One is overtrust, one is undertrust. And then, what is the influence of technology on the behavior on between humans, or how does technology moderate the trust between humans? So let's start with overtrust. Overtrust is the missing balance between technological capabilities, between the ability of a technology, about the features, the things it can do on one side, and the belief of the user on the other side. So if a user believes a technology can do A, B, C, and D, and the technology is actually providing A, B, C, and D, then there is a balance between what the technology can do and the belief of the user. So we have a right level, the correct level of trust. And overtrust, that means that the user believes the technology can do A, B, C, and D, but the technology is only capable of doing F, something totally different, or just of A and not of B, C, and D. So this is the balance that humans believe a technology can do more than it actually can do. An example of that is the Tesla autopilot. And this is a good example of how overtrust is created. Very often it is driven by marketing departments. You have a great word and you want to communicate that, and users have to pay for a certain technology. So we spice it up a bit. We bring it to a different level, and people believe, hey, this technology can solve all my problems, and it actually doesn't do it. I mean, the Tesla Autopilot is a very good driver assistance system, and it does a pretty good job. But at the end of the day, it's not perfect. It's far from perfect. It is a so-called level two system, meaning it needs a surveillance of the user, of the human, of the driver at any point in time. And that works under certain conditions only. So it doesn't work on snowy and icy roads, for example. If it cannot read the lane markers, this autopilot is not an autopilot. People believe it can do it. And so they overtrust. They trust the system more than it actually performs. And we have all seen, or most of us will have seen, the videos where Tesla drivers are sleeping in the car, even the driver is in deep sleep, and the car is driving by itself. And it works. In 95% of all the cases, it works. But there is a number of use cases, a number of situations, and we have all read about them, and we have all heard about them, where this technology does not perform in the way it users believe it should perform. And this is a typical example of overtrust. People trust a technology more than it actually performs. And the danger here is the misuse, so it is used in the wrong way, and this causes accidents. This raises the chance that something will go awfully wrong. Cars run into trucks, cars run into ambulances, cars are leaving the roads, and people are sleeping behind the wheel. This is a typical example of overtrust. Undertrust is the exact opposite. It's a missing trust. So people believe, or people, users do not believe that a technology can do certain things, although it can do it. So it is designed to perform A, B, C, and D, and users believe, maybe it is doing A, but definitely not B, C, and D. So this is this missing trust. Undertrust is, the level of trust is too low. The technology can do more than users believe it can do. And this leads to the fear of using technology. And my wife just got her a new company car, which is a beautiful car with a level two automation system, meaning in certain situations, usually on German autobahns, I've tested, we've been driven last weekend, about 1,500 kilometers with this car, 1,000 miles, and use this automation system, and it basically works pretty well. If you have not good lane markers, if you have a good sight, if it's not a too chaotic for traffic situation, so it works in a way, pretty good. If you drive with this car and you have a negative experience with this one, there is a nice study from Volvo, from the Swedish car maker Volvo, about how long does it take to build trust. It's about between 20 and 60 minutes, depending on the person, on the character. And it is lost within seconds. Something goes wrong. And then rebuilding it takes even longer than these 20 to 60 seconds in the first round. And with this car, it was pretty much the same. So it seems like this car is having a problem on wide right curves on autobahns. So it is leaving the lane towards the left all the time. Not all the time, but very often. Feels like all the time. It is not true. But very often, it just misses the left lane or the left lane marker and just goes. It shows you. I know I've seen the lane marker that is shown on the display, but definitely it goes out of the lane to the left side. Sometimes it is, braking, doing crazy things where I believe, hey, I could have done this different. Yeah, there's no real reason to brake. Why is it braking? So this creates distrust. And there are many situations when users say, "Oh, I don't know whether this one works well or not," or they have used it, and now they say, "Oh, there something went wrong. I don't know. I don't trust this anymore." And they don't use the technology. And at first sight, it seems like, all right, then they don't use it. Then they drive by themselves, or they don't make smartphone calls, or they don't send data on over the internet, or they don't behave, they don't walk into camera areas when they believe that there is a Chinese technology in there. The problem here is that if technology is not used, the benefits are not realized. So if users do not use the technology, they don't use the safety benefits, the comfort benefits, the communication benefits, the exchange, the cognitive improvements, the whatever you have as a benefit out of technology, you don't use it if you don't use the technology. And this is the danger, particularly if it's about safety. If you use such a level two automation system, the car warns you if you're too close to other cars. The car brakes for you if you miss the right braking point. The car steers for you if you get a little tired. So all these are advantages you get out of the technology, and you miss this if you have undertrust. If you do not trust the technology, if you do not turn it on, if you believe, hey, this will never work the right way and I don't trust this one, then you don't get the benefits out of it. And this is the major point here. And thinking about this, I think it's almost as dangerous as overtrust, where you risk accidents because you trust too much. You risk accidents because you don't trust enough. And that's the big point. And yeah, this is overtrust and undertrust. I hope I made these points clear. Very often in scientific publications, on conferences and presentations, we talk about trust and automation. I always ask, is it overtrust or undertrust? What is in your focus? What kind of thing? And very often, and this is a strange thing, researchers don't know it. Although I think it's very clear, it's very obvious what it is. All right, let's move on to the third point, the trust between humans. How is trust between humans moderated with technology? And I remember my childhood. Excuse me, just a little water. When I remember my childhood, my parents sent me to school excursions for maybe 2 weeks, or with other groups, with sports groups, and we didn't have any smartphones, any constant connectivity. So they told me, "Hey, Peter, behave in the right way, and don't do this, don't do that, and be a nice guy, and don't be too bad to all your teachers and stuff. And remember, it is just 400 kilometers away. We can pick you up if you do not behave properly," and so on and so on and so on. I think it must have been required to give me such an advice. At the end of the day, I behaved pretty well, and when I entered the bus or the train, and it left the train station or the bus station. Sorry. Then my parents needed to trust me. And I needed to trust my parents that they trust me and that I will return. Today, it is totally different. If the bus leaves or the train leaves, a constant exchange on messengers, on SMS, WhatsApp, whatever messenger messages is exchanged. Constantly, photos are sent around saying, "Hey, mom, dad, this is how my room looks, and all is good." And I believe that children, and I know that this is a very strong thesis, but I really believe this: children today, they are not trained in building up trust because they always have this backup. They always have the technology that allows them to connect with their parents. And it's even worse for the parents today, for the young parents. They don't get the chance to build trust into their children. They don't get the experience. Things work out well at the end. They have the feeling they can control it, and they do it. They can control they can control their kids, and they do control their kids all the time. So they have this constant exchange of information. And so And at the end of the day, you all also destroy the trust that things work out well at the end, that this world is not a bad place. Yeah, you destroy this trust. And I think this will have consequences for future generations because they will not learn how to build trust. And this changes the way humans communicate, that changes the trust between humans because there is a technology. A different example. Let's get back to the car, to the company car of my wife with this level two automation. We all trust in other drivers. We all believe that, I mean, if there is a red traffic light, I can drive and no other car will come because I trust that all the others will stop at the right. We all know it's not true all the time, but basically, if we do not trust in other drivers, we are will not able to drive. We cannot participate in traffic. We do not trust other persons. And yeah, we also trust in the behavior of others. So if there is a speed limit, for example, you're driving 120 kilometers per hour, we in Germany, we tend to drive between 125 and 130, normally a little more than it is legal. And we trust that everyone else will do this. This automated car, I mean, it can read traffic signs and it adapts its speed automatically to what is written on the traffic sign. And this destroys the trust of other traffic participants if you drive constantly 120, if there's 120 legal. And I make the experience, it's pretty much the same in other countries, especially in Europe, when I travel here. Everybody is going a little faster than he or she should. And the drama gets even bigger if you drive 120 and then there comes the sign 100 kilometers per hour. And usually, you drive your 125, your 130, and then you take the foot of the gas pedal, and then the car goes down to maybe 105, 106, and then you drive with that one. And it's not exactly where the sign is. An automated car goes down to the 100 exactly where the sign is. And nobody behind you expects that. Nobody expects 100% correct traffic behavior. And again, this destroys trust. I trust that the other one will behave more or less like I do, with a little tolerance here and a lot of tolerance there. But yeah, we're all humans. We behave human in a certain way. And this is not happening in with automated cars. Yeah, so it is overcorrect driving. It is 100% correct driving. Or the distance between other cars. I mean, automated cars leave larger distances to the car ahead than human drivers would do. Particularly if you have a scenario like a lane change. Legal speed is 120 kilometers per hour. You drive with 100 on the right lane and you want to go 120. You have to move to the left lane because there's another car in front of you driving just 100. And the normal human, the expected human behavior is you speed up to maybe 115, and you go under the legal distance to the car in front of you. You then change the lane and then speed up to 120. An automated car is not making this maneuver. It is first changing the lane at this 100 kilometers per hour speed and then accelerates to the 120, which again is a behavior many human drivers do not expect, and this destroys trust in other drivers. And as I said, if we destroy all the trust between drivers, traffic will not be possible anymore. All right. So let's get to the end. Trust is essential in the relationship between humans and technologies. I talked about overtrust, meaning that we trust too much in what technology can do. We think it can do more than it actually can do. I talked about undertrust, that we do not really believe that the technology can do things. We do not really trust it. We believe, no, it is not capable of doing it, although it can do it. And then We do not use all the potential of technology yet. We do not realize all the benefits a technology has. And trust, the technology moderates the trust between humans. I talked about this parent-children thing if they go on an excursion, that we do not trust our kids anymore, that we do not trust that things turn out good and positive in the very end. And I talked about the distrust caused by automated vehicles because they don't behave like humans behave in traffic normally. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time. Take care and stay healthy.